We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
I will say one thing for AJ. AJ belongs in the Hall of Fame.
He does. Which Hall of Fame? I'm in the Hall of Fame. Dr. Phillips Hall of Fame. Well, Polish Hall of Fame.
Good Polish kid.
White Sox Hall of Fame?
They don't have one.
AJ actually knows more about the game than anybody I've talked to. Mark Burley never in his whole career shook off one sign from a catcher.
Not true. He did. Me once.
Once?
He took a line drive off his forehead and he never did it again.
That's from the Foul Territory podcast that is hosted by our next guest, A.J. Pierzynski, the former White Sox catcher who can be found on Twitter, AJ_Pierzynski FT, co-host of Foul Territory. You can watch new episodes Monday through Friday. The two-time member of the 05 World Series champion Sox joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, A.J.
AJ, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Doing Hawk, you guys go back a long way. I mean, I've even heard Hawk basically say that he discovered you, which is true. What was it like for you to hear some of the things he had to say about being retired instead of retiring?
Is that the thing that everyone remembers from that talk we had with Hawk yesterday? That's kind of funny. Because,
that's a headline, AJ. Like, that's a legit headline that he feels like he was pushed out.
Yeah. See, the thing was, for me, it wasn't news because I've known Hawk for so long, so I know all the stories. But I guess he just never said that maybe publicly was a thing. I don't know that that's maybe the right terminology, but listen, Hawk was, what, 70? He's 81, so he's 77, 78. And I think the day was coming for him. It just kind of came a little bit before he wanted it to. So, yeah, I think he put it in Hawk's terms. And Hawk's not going to pull any punches, so he's going to say whatever he wants. I know he's going to say that. But that's Hawk's vision and the way he sees the world. No one's going to change that.
I think when it comes to retirement, sometimes guys are used to working a long time and then they're not anymore. So I thought maybe that was part of it with Hawk. But you know what that's like, and you've reinvented yourself as a broadcaster. Tell us about Foul Territory and how the show's coming together, because it is making waves, whether it's talking to Lance Lynn or Hawk or various other people in baseball.
Well, we're trying. And Hawk, yeah, listen, before we get into the Foul Territory stuff, Hawk went from doing a game every day for, what, 60 years to 50 years to not really having much to do. So that's a big shock to the system. So I give him credit. I see him out of the golf course doing some things. So he's hanging in there. But as far as Foul Territory goes, yeah, it's just a new show we have. Yeah, we've made some waves. We've made some headlines. We've gotten some people to talk about some things. And that's the whole goal of this show, is to get players and people in baseball to be more open. Instead of the cutter questions, we want to get to know the players a little bit more, and in a podcast/YouTube style show, we're able to get more time with them, we're able to get more in depth, and because it's former players talking to players, we feel like they're more open, and so far it's been great. It's every day, and yeah, it's a little bit change in my workload, but that's okay. I enjoy it, and it's just been fun to talk to all these guys.
Who's been the most interesting for you personally so far to talk to?
I like talking to the reporters. The players, listen, the players are great. All the players, but as a former player, I kind of know a lot of the things they're going to say, except for the personal side of it. But listen, when you get to talk to reporters, we get to talk to Ken Rosenthal twice a week, and he's the best guy in the business as far as insiders, and Katie Wu, and we're going to have Scott Merkin on soon, and we're going to have all these people on that are around these people, and you hear their stories and where they came from and what they're thinking and what they think of teams and how they deal with players. That's what's interesting to me as a former player, now a media member, is how do they get to become an insider? How do they get to learn these things? Where do they get their opinions from? It's just amazing how everybody is different. And then the player side, listen, Lance Lynn, what he said about the World Baseball Classic was amazing. And I can't believe that Pedro Grifol had to answer a question about him saying that. I mean, he was clearly joking, but it's just amazing that social media can get managers' questions now.
When it comes to the way that you used to deal with teammates or opponents when you were playing, how have you morphed that into trying to be as honest as possible on the air without hurting someone's feelings?
I think I'm going to ask the questions that need to be asked. And I think we all do that on foul territory. But like when I'm doing a Fox game, I just try to be honest and tell what I see. Listen, baseball is really hard as a sport. And I think the farther you get away from it, the easier it looks on TV, because I know, or from the stands, because I know watching games now, it's like, man, how did that guy not hit that slider? You forget how hard it was to hit that slider or that pitch. So I think as long as you remember how hard baseball was, you can be honest with players. Players know when they screwed up. I never had a problem. Listen, if I screwed up and I knew I screwed up, I'd be there and answer the questions. When players get angry is when you get personal and you take shots. You don't give players a chance to speak their side of the story, and I think we do a good job of that on foul territory. And I haven't had a player yet, I mean, knock on wood, come up to me and say, man, I hated what you said or what you said about me. Most of them have been very positive and say, hey, thank you for representing how player's side of it and knowing how hard baseball is.
Well, I think it's a matter of time before that does happen, and that's a good sign. That means you, when that happens, AJ, that means you're doing your job right. Because someone's like, hey, I gotta tell you why I was positioned over here. That wasn't my screw up, and that way you're informed. And next time you say, all right, well that makes a little bit more sense. But I wouldn't worry about it if somebody does do that, because that's usually a good thing. What I wanted to ask you about was something I'm reading regarding catchers positioning vis-a-vis the new rules, and this idea of, are you on one knee because it better suits your framing intentions to be a little lower or to get yourself at a proper angle, yet you're not as athletic a position to throw out a base runner, maybe to back pick somebody. How do you balance your body as a framer as opposed to being as somebody who's stopping the run game?
Well, I just laugh now because I wish they would have let me catch on one knee my whole career. I could still be playing right now. I'm like, man, I look back and these guys are on one knee. It doesn't matter. You don't have to block the ball. They don't value that anymore. There's pass balls all the time because you're trying to steal pitches. They don't value that anymore. And the throwing is mostly what they've learned now is mostly on the pitcher a lot of the times, because most of the catchers, there's a couple exceptions, Realmuto, maybe Wilson Contreras, that just throw better than the other guys. But the rest of them are pretty equal in their throwing ability. So it's mostly on the pitcher. So that's why I think you see a lot of these guys on one knee, because they're trying to steal the two or three pitches. Now, do I agree with it? Like a guy on third and the run can score, or guy in late innings, there's a runner on second with one out because I can't block a ball, the guy can get to third? Probably not, but this is the new age of baseball. This is the new way it's done. And if they bring in someone like a robo ump, it's going to change it back to more of the old way, but it's different. I can't say I like it, but I also understand it, so I can't say I dislike it.
I also think, AJ, I talked to you on Sports Sunday about Jose Abreu, and I really appreciated what you had to say about his presence and being missed and the process of him facing his former team tomorrow in Houston. Can you share that with this audience? Because this is a different listening audience, and I felt like you were not just approaching Abreu's importance as something the Sox are going to miss maybe more than we've talked about, but also just the process for him as a former player. You're familiar with that.
Well, we just did foul territory, and Todd Frazier picked Jose Abreu to win the home run title in major leagues, and I laughed at him, which I just because Jose hasn't been a home run hitter like that for a long time, and he's a great player. And not only a great player, but when you walked into the White Sox clubhouse, he always had the guys over there. They were always having a good time. He was keeping them loose, and he played every day, right? So that's when you look at it just from that, man, he's going to be missed. But for him personally, the first time you go from one team to another is the hardest. And for him to have to play defending world champions, they're going to do all their celebration. They're going to get their rings. They're going to do all that tomorrow. And I've been on this situation. When I went to the Red Sox in 2014, they won in 2013. You're sitting there and you're like the outsider because you're watching all these guys get their ring. They're getting called out there and you're kind of standing there like, why am I here? Why am I standing there watching this? So I feel for him. And then he's got to play as the White Sox, the team he's only team organization he's ever known in Major League Baseball. It's going to be awkward. I think for him, it's going to be hard. I'm glad he gets it out of the way early. And he also, I think they go to Chicago pretty early so he can get that. The crowd for the White Sox should give him a standing ovation, should treat him like one of the great White Sox players because he did a lot of things. He brought the White Sox back into the playoffs, hit a lot of home runs, got a lot of big hits. But the thing that he was, he played every day and he was a steadying presence in the clubhouse.
With the rule changes, you and Mark Burley have been brought up a lot, like you two working together as a battery and how quickly Burley worked when he was on the mound. What do you think is the key to not just working quick, but working quick and doing it effectively?
Well, you have to go at your own pace. And not everyone can go at Mark Burley's pace, but also not anyone could go like Steve Traxel, right? The human rain delay guy that was pitched for the Cubs for all those years. It took forever. So you have to find your own pace, and it has to be quicker now. The thing that I worry about is big moments. When there's a big moment and late in the game, you got the closer on the mound, it's 3-2, and he's a little bit tired, he's throwing 20 pitches, the bases are loaded, and you've got a big slugger up there, we're going to try to hurry through those at bats. And that's the thing I have the most fear of, is missing those moments, letting the excitement build, because, oh gosh, we have to hurry up or else we're going to get a ball called or a strike called. And I think there has to be a little bit of leniency from the umpires. But, man, I'm all for faster games. I loved when Burley pitched because the game was over quick.
Well, we also know that you were someone that understood the game at a level that sometimes allowed you to manipulate the game. So, AJ,
Maybe just a little bit.
You would manipulate the game. So, as someone looking at this from the perspective of these new rules, what are some things that you might consider doing to give yourself an advantage or an edge behind the plate?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you've seen guys like Scherzer and Greinke. They call their own pitches, so they can come home anytime. Now, it has to be inside that 20-second time frame. But let's say they come set and the batter's ready with 15 seconds. They can stand there and hold the ball for 15 seconds, and if the batter's already called their one timeout, guess what? He's got to stand there. And I know as a hitter, man, it's something you just stood there, waited, hold the pitch, hold the ball. And then the next time, they could do it, and they could come set 15 seconds and bum rush you, and you're not quite ready yet. So there's a lot of things that I think some of these veteran guys are going to toy with and try to learn. There's going to be more back picks or catchers to reset the clock, give their pitch for time. You know, the only two throwovers, that's a different rule change that really nobody's talking about. I think it'll help base stealers. And the one that is intriguing the most to me is the replay rule that no one even mentions, and that's the managers have 15 seconds to tell the umpire whether they're challenging. Now, it used to be like 30 seconds. They give them some leeway. It is a hard stop, and that is going to be a lot of pressure on the managers, the coaches, and the video guys.
We mentioned it yesterday, actually. It was Jason Stark of The Athletic that noticed the change in that rule that we kind of all should have intuited had to have been coming. So we're trying to think of the number of people, AJ, whose jobs are now going to be scrutinized more than they were. That video review person is certainly one of them. I'm thinking of like the guy that turns the missile key at the end of Crimson Tide. It's a Viggo Mortensen, like the guy in Weapons that you don't think of. All of a sudden, is the difference between. And then you also have the bat people who Major League Baseball has said if the actual people bringing the equipment to the umpires, bringing balls, getting equipment off the field, that they are now going to be under scrutiny to make sure they're working quickly enough. So who are we not thinking?
Yeah, they're gonna have a combine for bat boys now.
Right.
Right. to where he's going to, the Bat Boys are going to have to run the 40-yard dash and make sure they can pick up the bat in a certain time and get back. It's just, it's a lot, doesn't it? It seems like there's just a lot that has been heaped on everybody really fast. And I don't know, what else can we think of? I don't know. The bigger bases, I think, are going to lead to more action. But man, there's so many things that are, I'm actually doing the game on Saturday, the Phillies and the Rangers, and I'm interested to see how it affects broadcasting, because with less time in between pitches, is that going to mean less replays, less time to analyze what's happening? I can't wait to see how this goes, to see how these new rules work.
Oh, yeah, I know broadcasters, producers specifically, are really concerned about getting in all the sponsored elements and stuff like that. So I know it's going to be a big adjustment. You're trying to process it all as a catcher and see what you're seeing and analyze, and then trying to read everything you need to read is probably going to be a big balancing act.
Well, luckily, I don't have to read. They don't let me do reads because I can't read, apparently. So I just have to analyze. I don't have to worry about the reads. I always joke with them, like, at what point – What point do I have to get to in my life where I'm allowed to actually, like, read the card on the screen? Because I haven't gotten there yet. So I always ask the producer in the talkback, I said, so how many years do I have to do this before I can prove you I can read the card that says, you know, this Monday on Fox, or this Sunday on Fox, the Daytona 500 at 3 p.m., tune in to watch cars go around in a circle. Like, how hard is it? At what point do I have to get to you guys all broadcast, which is where I can say that on the air?
I really wish that you actually would say, tune in to watch cars go around in a circle on Fox.
Well, that
what
would
are
be,
they going to say to
that
you?
Would be the last time yes, that AJ that would the, then get to read the card.
What are they going to say?
Maybe that's why they don't let me read the card, right?
I just think it's actually kind of genius on your part. It's sort of like what our kids did when they couldn't load the dishwasher properly. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, damn it, I'll do it. You guys don't know how to do it. And now you can sit back. You get more time during a break if you don't have to do a read.
That's true. That is true, though. I didn't think about that. But I never get up from my chair anyways. I sit there for 5 hours and never get up. So it doesn't really matter the time. It's just, I guess, more time to try to figure out what we're going to analyze for the next inning. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get to that point. I'm hoping not, maybe, now that you guys mention it.
It's a natural instinct. I want to ask you, too, as a follow-up. I know you were working on a fundraiser, $25,000 donated for every follower you get on either Twitter or Instagram. Where are you at right now with that? And it's going to Sox Charities.
Yeah, $25,000, up to $25,000 for Sox Charity. $1 for every follow on my Instagram or my Twitter. I think I'm at, let me hear, while we're talking, let me look real quick where we're at. I got about 4,000, I think, on Instagram. Yeah, 3,000 on Instagram. And I think over 8,000 on Twitter. Yeah, almost 8,800 on Twitter. So, that's 11,000, almost 12,000. So I'm only almost halfway there. We got about 4 days. So I need some more. I want people to take my money, please, and give it to a good cause in White Sox Charity. So I'm just waiting for, I need to double that number quickly.
AJ, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thank you much.
All right, guys, before I go, I got to ask you guys, who's the better team, the Cubs or the White Sox this year?
It should be the Sox.
It should be the White Sox, but you know what it is. The caveat with them is always, if healthy. Like, that's the big question. If they're healthy, they should be the better team. But we've been looking for that team for the last 3 years, and they're not healthy. So that's the answer.
Okay. That's a good answer. At least you said the White Sox. If you said the other team, I would have banned you from my Instagram, my Twitter.
Well, I'm going to Instagram right now. I'm got to get some wrestling thoughts from you, too. So I'll do that.
Okay. We can do that. And I try to answer most people back. Now, if you get to ask me something outrageous, I don't. But I try to answer you back. And if I don't right away, I will.
All right. Seth Rollins or Logan Paul at WrestleMania?
Well, I feel like Rollins has to win, right?
Does he?
I think it'll be a good match. I mean, Rollins is over right now. So I think they're going to, you know, continue it. The better one is, when will Roman Reigns drop the belt?
Yes, because that's been kind of the big question in these streets, is when he's going to drop it. So I'm curious to see how long they want him to be the face of the corporation.
Well, it's been, almost 2 years now. I mean, geez, what else can he possibly do? He's basically wrestled everybody. I mean, you know, I think the rumor for a while was Rock was going to come out and kind of take the belts away from him or lose somehow. But, I mean, he's had those things for almost 2 years now. Like, at some point, they got to let somebody else get over, right?
You would think so, but I don't know if anyone has ascended to stardom enough to allow that to happen. But you're right. Like, that's why you should be booking. Like, that's the next thing. Along with the podcast and you being on Fox, you need to be, like, key booker for WWE or AEW.
No, because I'd always have them changing hands, because I think it's a lot of times, well, maybe not the main belt, but I think the lower belts are better when it changes hands a little more often than having, like, the Usos keep the belt for a long time and then the Gunther guy that's the Intercontinental Champion keep it for, like, 2 years. Like, you know, you got to change belts to give other guys a chance to shine.
I've always enjoyed the person who had the IC title because you knew that they were next. You knew that they were going to be the next one to have a big opportunity. And you always wanted to see them flourish. See, here it is.
In the U.S. title.
Exactly. The old U.S. title and the television title that Tully Blanchard just held on to for 70-something weeks, or Goldberg's undefeated streak at 83. Like, there's a lot here. So I'm going to suggest the Lawrence and AJ wrestling podcast for somewhere down the line.
Requested by fans as well.
Yeah, we could do that. AJ, thanks for being on, man.
No problem, guys. Thanks. We'll see you all on Monday at Sox opening day.
Oh, yeah. Throwing out the first pitch. Good luck.
I think he's going to be all right. I think so.
He said he had to practice.
No,
I think he'll be fine. Segment has been brought to you by Finishing Chicago. All great finishes start with finishingchicago.com. And when we mention opening day, you need to know April 3rd. Bernstein and Holmes, this show, live, 670 The Score, 10-2, Cork and Carey at the Park, 33rd in Princeton. Come out, have an ice-cold Miller Lite before the Sox take on San Francisco. Brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Chicago. Celebrate responsibly.
I told you I was going to get some wrestling talk in with him.
I loved it. I thought that was very interesting.
We could have done a whole segment with him talking about, because, I mean, they literally, their strength coach was a wrestler.
You know, oh, that's right. He was the Demon.
Yes.
Torborg's kid, right? Yeah. Dale Torborg.
Yeah. I like how you first referred to him as the Demon.
Because I remembered it. I don't know. It's stuck in my head.
And AJ's been in the ring, too.
He has, right? How long ago was that?
It's probably 10, 15 years ago. He knows that stuff backwards and forwards.
I know we have something else written down, but we were going to do this at the top of the show. Can we just, when we come back, ask the question, what the hell is Jonathan Toews talking about?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to do that next on The Score.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I feel like I've said it already that I got to the point where my health is more important, and you know, I know I could, as I've kind of shown these last few years, even though it, by my own personal standards, I'm not happy with the way I've performed, and feel like I have much more to give with, you know, my experience in the game and knowing how to play the game. But when day after day, it's you're just pushing through pain. It's just like to what end, you know.
That's Jonathan Toews. A quick reminder that Parkinson Spiegel will be broadcasting today from 2 to 6 from Harry Carey's at Navy Pier, courtesy of Budweiser. It is the 25th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Help vote Harry for mayor of Rush Street. Stop by to register to win Cubs opening day tickets throughout the show. You have to be present to win. I also quickly want to remind you, Our poker room is filling up for Thursday, April 20th, 2023, the Charity Poker Championship brought to you by Camp One Step and Children's Oncology Services. We are so unbelievably excited, and there are still a handful of the special registrations with the $100 add-on that remain for this month, but we're at about 3 weeks out right now. This is going to sell out. I think we've got 50-some seats remaining, including some of the high roller seats. So if you are planning on joining us, do not wait. Make sure you get on this. And we've already confirmed our celebrity bounty players that are going to be included but not limited to Shane Reardon, Marley Caden, Richard Roper, Lawrence, Danny Parkins. I think Steve Albini is going to play this year. The noted music producer, Jason Finn of Windy City Poker, is going to be there as part of this as well. So we're all hanging out, and we are playing poker to send our lucky winner or skilled winner to the World Series of Poker main event. The $10,000 seat, including the travel, is part of that. Yes?
Hi. Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Yes.
Your event, the yes. Dan Bernstein event, is on 420.
It is, indeed. At Galleria Marchetti. We were there last year. Everything's wonderful. The food is great. I think Sri is going to be there pouring outstanding rare brown liquors.
What's up, Brugal?
For everybody. And the reason we're there is to help send kids with cancer and leukemia to camp. And this is how we do it, to make sure that every kid, and we're serving increasingly across the country, kids who come to us to be a part of our program. So it's going to be a great night of poker and fun and conviviality. So listen, don't miss out. I'm urging you to grab your seat for this, especially if you're a high roller. What you're going to do is you're going to go to camponestep.org. It's the easiest way to do it, camponestep.org. Just look under the events page. You can click right in and register and sign up and be a part of it. Thank you. Now, to Jonathan Toews, and obviously he's going through some things. It's very confusing as to what his health problems are. When you try to research his purported syndrome of chronic immune response syndrome, there are all kinds of different websites and bits of documentation with conflicting descriptions of what it is and why it is. There is some that say it has to do with exposure to mold or biotoxins. Others say it is also exacerbated by head trauma. There are some doctors who are dubious or skeptical of it, similarly to the interpretations of chronic Lyme disease and or various permutations of long COVID. They don't know. I don't doubt that he feels like crap. They don't know exactly why. But when he's talking about the end of his time here and talking about the departure of his longtime running mate, Patrick Kane, I found it a little odd.
For myself personally, probably, you know, I was definitely shocked. You know, the possibility is there for a while, but you're like, yeah, it's not actually going to happen. Like, you know, you just can't see a guy like him in another jersey. And, you know, when I heard he was flying home from San Jose to kind of wait things out until the trade was actually going through, I think it might have been Tuesday night or something. And then I realized, okay, this is for real. And all of a sudden you see him in a New York Rangers jersey. I mean, again, it kind of looks good on him, to be honest with you, but I hate to say that, but, you know, just happy to see him enjoying himself and playing with some really good players and, you know, here and there being reunited with a guy like Breadman. And I think Kane is such a competitor that, you know, it's going to feel good for him to go out there and play some meaningful games in the playoffs and play on the big stage. And obviously that team, they got Patrick Kane, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves right now. And it'll be interesting to see. Definitely rooting for him to have success down the road. And, you know, we've been kind of playing phone tag and texting back and forth, but, you know, when we do get a hold of each other, it'll be nice just to express my appreciation for all the memories we've had and we share together as teammates. So,
how can you be shocked?
For the last 18 months, it is all that those two have been talked to about is whether or not they were going to take out their movement clauses and whether there was going to be any teams that were going to be able to absorb the salaries of those two players and adding. I'm struggling with that concept too. Like if he's talking about it from a more general, like, man, like, I can't believe that Patrick Kane isn't a Blackhawk anymore. Okay. But this was really the only thing that people wanted to talk to you about. Do you want to be here while the Blackhawks rebuild? And the answer was seemingly no. And the answer was seemingly no for Patrick Kane too. In fact, I believe there's an actual quote of Jonathan Toews saying, I don't want to be part of a rebuild, like a long-term rebuild. So I don't understand why he is surprised that Patrick Kane is wearing someone else's sweater.
Well, and Patrick Kane also said before DeBrincat got traded that it was dependent on also DeBrincat getting traded. And then that happened. So it was just a matter of time. Also, both agents, there were multiple updates from TSN and various news watchers talking about the timeline for it, that it would be reassessed at certain times throughout the season. That was established.
It's just weird.
I'm also not going to share in a lot of this, whatever the end of Jonathan Toews is as a Blackhawk or as an NHL player. You can keep your nostalgia. You can. You can keep absolutely every single bit of it. And that's because that was the captain of the team when other Blackhawks were hazing Kyle Beach and making fun of him and not supporting him when he was being victimized sexually by a Blackhawks coach. What did the captain do? And what did Patrick Kane do? Nothing. The people ostensibly in charge, and they talk about the bond in the locker room and taking care of your teammates. And what did anybody do that had any power on the Blackhawks, from the very top of the organization to the coaching staff, to scouts, to general managers, assistant general managers, the president, and the lauded captain? They did nothing to try to help their teammate. So you can save every bit of your nostalgia about it. Oh, gee, I'm sorry to see the end of an era. Screw that. They burned all that to the ground for what they did, of what they covered up just to win. So you can keep all that stuff, and you can leave me out of it because of what should have been done, for everything it's said around hockey and the brotherhood and the people in this locker room, what we do, and don't step on the logo and all that. Meanwhile, you have a guy being abused multiple times, being victimized by a coach, and you're making fun of him. And you're not supporting. You're making his life worse. You're hazing him. You're making fun of him. You're calling him a... At practice, on the ice, and in the locker room, and the people who are supposed to be in charge of that team, the sacred C on your sweater, and that's how I choose to not wield that power. Sorry, not having it. And for that team to still not have said a word about refusal to wear their jerseys on their lip service pride night, they're a disgrace. Call me when you fix yourselves.
Back after this on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Come on, just wake up, man.
Sometimes. What?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say sometimes when you want to inform somebody. Wait, remember how much we made about, are they talking to Justin Fields? Are they letting him know things? Are they keeping him informed? Is he in on it? Is he part of the loop? And we were all concerned about that. And I guess it turns out things didn't go exactly as they were supposed to when it came to the massive trade.
Like I mentioned before, communication was good with him, kind of letting him know. But also, I was honest with, you can't completely shut the door either, because you just don't know how this thing's going to play out. But his reaction, I let him know when the trade went down and DJ was coming in. I didn't get a response for a while, so I said, are you sleeping? And then he actually was. He took a nap. So he woke up and he was pumped up. So, you know, he got to connect with DJ and he's fired up.
I love that.
Are you sleeping? Yeah.
How many times have you sent somebody a text with like super important information and they typically get back to you quickly, but they didn't this time and you're like, I need a reply from you.
Or rolled over from a nap and seen like 20 notifications and you're like, oh, bleep, I've missed something.
Usually it's just jokes on a group thread for me.
Yes, that's usually how it goes for me too. But occasionally you're like, oh, that's interesting. Leury Garcia got cut.
Like, I know 20 minutes later.
I know that athletes have, that napping is all high tech now and all the napping metrics.
I don't know if I feel like from what we had seen from what was going on with Justin before that trade went down, I don't know if this is one of those high tech naps. It feels like this was a vacation nap.
Just an actual vacation nap, but I don't.
And it was Friday afternoon, so that makes it even better.
Naps generally screw me up.
Friday afternoon nap is clutch.
I don't nap.
It is.
Screw me
it
up.
Is
always,
one. It is number one in the nap rankings.
All of a sudden, it's like no golf nap.
Friday
Saturday,
afternoon nap.
Saturday, third round of a PGA tournament. Like sort of half doze off with a crossword puzzle, kind of falling into your
You're
lap.
You're the only person
golf
who
nap.
Does that.
Then people are missing out.
Golf nap. Friday afternoon nap. My submission for nap draft, light 'em up, is post-workout, pre-whatever else you have to do that day nap.
That's why the Friday afternoon nap is so clutch.
So
that's
me,
why it's number one.
If one of my friends is like, I have this really great class I want to go to, and I'm like, okay, go on. And they're like, it's at 7 a.m. And I'm like, remember that time I got off work at 11? And I'm like, fine, I'll just nap after the workout. And then I do. Major key.
Power nap.
Yeah, I wish I were like
that was almost like a affected like power nap.
Power nap. So
like I can't sleep in a car. I can't sleep on a plane.
Well, I mean, I would hope that you aren't sleeping when you're driving
no,
a car.
Of course not. But like I always admire the people who can just be like, oh, I'm riding shotgun for 20 minutes.
Goff.
And they're just
that's Goff.
I mean, Jason Goff can do that.
He can sleep whenever. Wherever.
That's an amazing skill.
As if he's
how
not talented
really?
Enough.
Studs, you can do that?
Oh, yeah.
You can
I
just
sleep
like,
anywhere.
You can just like flip the switch?
Pretty much, for the most part. Yeah.
What about concrete surfaces?
Concrete surfaces? Yeah, I could probably do it.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously? I had a great aunt who could nap on a concrete picnic table.
When we went to spring break my junior year in college, I literally slept on the hotel room floor for the whole week. Now, granted, granted, I wasn't sober most of the week, but still, yeah. I just had a blanket and a pillow on the floor in a hotel room.
Sometimes
ooh, this is
not
good.
Being and sober makes it. People sleep worse.
Yeah, post-brunch nap.
Quality. I did that. Oh, I did that this weekend.
Man,
had,
we got a nap draft
I had
going
the
here.
Ultimate. We were in New Orleans, and
that's a perfect place for it.
We went to Mother's.
That'll do it.
And we took one look at Beth, like we gotta go back to the hotel.
Yep.
Like ooh, out.
I have a submission. Sun nap.
You gotta be careful with the sun naps
or from that. If there's a sunny spot indoors or something, like a dog,
like a cat,
yeah,
like a sunny cat nap,
but not like a beach. Sun nap.
Well,
if
you have sunscreen on, a hat.
Actually, like poolside cabana nap.
The poolside.
That's not bad.
Do you think the afternoon show did a poolside cabana nap at some point?
Probably. Speaking of the afternoon show,
Lawrence,
I don't know if they slept.
They are down the road at Navy Pier because they're getting
ready.
Oh,
I don't have to leave. I packed up all my stuff and I don't even have to leave.
We're good. We will say hi to them for their big afternoon show next on The Score.
Are you sleeping?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.